The reading today is taken from the book of Luke, chapter 18, verses 9 to 14. It can be found on page 853 of your pew Bibles. He also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves, that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, was praying thus, God, I thank you that I'm not like thieves, rouges, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give income of all my income. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even look up to heaven, but was beating his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his home, justified, rather than the other. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, but all who humble themselves will be exalted. This is the word of the Lord.
Friends, I'm really, really happy to be with you today. Most of you don't really know me because I'm usually in the background dealing with the smelly teenagers. But here I am. How many of you feel young? Come on. How many of you feel young? Come on. All right, now you're making my ministry more difficult because I'm working here with young people, right? That's my ministry. So I'm really glad to be here with you. And let me ask you another question this morning. How many of you have heard a sermon on the concept of the fear of God? You, Cafe, you can raise your hand as well. I don't see you, but now we have have a few hands, less than the previous question. Okay, well, I think that's a good sign, because the concept of the fear of God is an essential theological concept. And I think most of the time, you know, in the Bible, when there are things that we don't really like, we tend to just put it aside and not really talk about it, right? That's human tendency. And I think we do that a lot with the fear of God. We much prefer being told about the love of God, right? And that's okay, but we need to unpack this concept of the fear of God. And so I'm going to do it today in two parts, basically. First, I'm going to focus on human fears, this kind of horizontal level. And then I'm going to explain a little bit more about the concept of the fear of God, just kind of this vertical level, right? So here we go. We have a cross. What's really striking when you start working on the concept of the fear of God, it's all over the Bible. Right? Many people are described in the Bible as being God-fearing people. And actually, Christians not so long ago were called God-fearing people. So why is it all about? Human fears. We all experience fears, right? All of us. That's like a human thing. And psychologists say that we have basically three ways to handle our fears and to react to our fears. The first one is to fight. All right, that's the way we do. Anyone wants to come up to, I can show? No? To fight. That's the first example. And you'll see that for all the different reactions to fear, I'm going to kind of back up my point with biblical examples. And the first one happens in the Garden of Gethsemane. All right, so you have Jesus, his disciples, and he's about to be arrested. And the disciples and Jesus were looking over there, and a crowd was coming toward them. A crowd of armed soldiers, of religious leaders, and they were led by Judas. So kind of not a really friendly crowd, right, coming toward them. And one of the disciples reacted, you know, toward this fear with fight. So he put out his sword and decided to just cut the right ear of the servant of the high priest. Poor guy. And you know the reaction of Jesus, right? No, don't do that. Enough of that. Fight is our first human reaction to fear. Second one, and you'll see there's a beauty in those like three, four different reactions. They all start with an F, so easy to remember. Second one, to flee. And there's one prophet in the Bible who's really famous for his capacity to run away from God. I'm talking of Jonah. We all know Jonah because he spent 3 days in the belly of a big, big fish. But I would like to talk about his first reaction to God when God was calling him. So let me just read from Jonah, chapter 1, verse 1. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because of its wickedness has come up before me. Lovely, right? He went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Now, just in order to conceptualize what's going on, Nineveh is the capital of the Assyrian Empire. It's located in modern Iraq, in Mosul. So if you're in the region of Jerusalem, God is basically sending you east. And Tarshish, on the other hand, is known to be in Spain, modern Spain. So when God is sending, and I'm going to say all of us, right? Because those stories relate to us and our reactions. Sometimes when we express fear and God is calling us east, we go west, the exact opposite direction, right? A third human reaction to fear, to freeze, thinking that, well, the solution might just end up if a solution might come up if I just do nothing, right? If I just freeze. Reaction of being fearful and putting just some pillows over our head and just thinking, oh, everything's going to be fine. It's going to solve itself. And one example in the Bible is King David. In 1 Samuel 21, what happened to King David is he was basically chased by Saul, right? So he went to different places. And at some point in 1 Samuel 21, he decided to go to this little kingdom called Gath. And the king of Gath was King Achish. Now, David thought that by going into this kingdom, he will be safe. Now, it turned out that King Achish was not really happy with David coming into his kingdom, and actually made it pretty clear that if David was about to come to his kingdom of Gath, he would kill him. Reaction from David. He went to a cave called Abulam and just stayed there, you know, thinking that, oh my gosh, I've got so many fears, so you know what, I'm just going to stop time, I'm just going to freeze, I'm going to stay in my cave. And he actually stayed a few more chapters in 1 Samuel. To fight, to flee, to freeze. And I added a fourth one, which I quite like, to fake. And in the Bible, Peter is known as being a good faker. Right after Jesus was arrested, Peter was, you know, was kind of hanging around, not really knowing what to do, and must have been a really cold day because it says in Luke that he gathered a little group of people. There was a fire, so you know, he might just felt a little bit more comfortable near the fire. And he started talking with those people, and all of a sudden, a woman said, "Hey, I recognize this guy. He's a Galilean. He's one of the disciples of Jesus." And we all know the reaction of Peter, right? You guys all know. Of course I'm not a disciple of this guy. I don't even know this guy. Fake it. Theologians say that it's actually a little bit ironic because there's actually no way he could have faked it because Peter, like the other disciples, had a Galilean accent. So you could actually tell that he was from Galilee. It would be a little bit like me joining this small group over there and saying, "Hi guys, how's it going?" And you know, they say, "Hey, this guy's from France." "Of course not, I'm not from France, why are you saying that?" To fake it. We have this tendency to fake when we are afraid of things. Now the bottom line, and we know it from the Bible, is that we are not called to be afraid. We are not called to be fearful people. All over the Bible it says consistently, "Do not be afraid, you shall not fear." Psalm 23, one of the most famous psalms, "I shall fear no evil." And Christians also have this understanding that fears might come from Satan himself, right? So how do we reconcile all those commands to not fear, but at the same time, we are told to fear God? And we are told in Psalm 111 that to fear God is the beginning of wisdom. So how do we reconcile? So I just told you about this kind of horizontal level of human fears. This is in Greek phobos, which gave in English phobia. And the fear of God is something different. It's what Paul actually said in 1 Timothy. is theozobia. It's a different type of fear. It's different from phobos. And the best way to actually explain a concept, I'm just going to use Jesus' way of doing things. Because, you know, many times Jesus was asked about theological concepts, and Jesus would always answer with a good story. That was his way of doing things, right? It was a little bit frustrating because people wanted, you know, a good 3 points. Okay, Jesus, tell us how to pray. Oh, you want to know how to pray? Let me tell you a good story of this woman. Ah, enough. So let me tell you a story about the fear of God. It's the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. Now we're going to try to modernize this parable, right? It's the 11:15 service. We can modernize things. That's fine. So who would be a modern Pharisee here in Hong Kong? Any hands? Who would be a modern Pharisee here in Hong Kong?
Myself.
Yourself. Oh, that's a good one. No? Religious leaders? Well, you have one in front of you. Oh, it's me. Myself. Use the same, myself. Religious leaders in Hong Kong, right? So think about just a pastor. You know, someone who's supposed to be godly, to follow the Lord, follow the commands. And the tax collector, well, we don't like taxes, so we'll just keep the same man. The idea behind is that Jesus chose the tax collector because it was someone who was not really liked. And in Hong Kong, it's okay, we quite like the tax collector. But in Western Europe, where I'm from, we don't like the tax collector. So two people coming to church, right? The pastor and the tax collector. And the pastor arrives. It says in Luke, that he comes really close, right? You can see the altar and the pastor feeling like really, I have this distance with God, really close. And looking up to heaven, just saying these words. Lord, thank you because I'm so great. I am a wonderful pastor. I pray every day. I go to church every Sunday. Well, it's kind of my job. And I pay 10%, I give 10% of my salary to the poor. So thank you, Lord, for making me an awesome person. And by the way, thank you for not making me like this guy who's coming. The other guy, tax collector, it says in Luke that he stood at a distance. And without even looking up to heaven, would just, ouch, kneel down, beat his breast, and says, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And you know the end of the parable. Jesus said, well, this guy is much closer to God than the other one. And why is it so? It is so because this man expressed the fear of God. But see here, there's nothing about being afraid. It's about something else. Another story, right? We understand stories in a better way. Most of you have been to Europe, and you must have been to those huge cathedrals. St. Paul in London, Notre Dame de Paris, Sagrada Familia. And you know, you go in those spaces, in those huge cathedrals with your friends, and you had a great day, and you know, just walk around, and you enter this cathedral, and all of a sudden, your voice is going to go down. Because you are in a space of wonder. You're just struck by this place is just mind-blowing. And there are signs outside reminding you that it's all about respect, that you cannot just come in flip-flops and shorts. This is a place where we can feel the presence of God. You know what I mean? This feeling that we have deep down, that we entered a sacred place? Well, that's exactly what it is. And you see that it has nothing to do about being afraid, right? When you enter a cathedral, you're not afraid about what's going on. You're not afraid about God. But you have this sense of wonder. And that's what it is about. Theologians tell us that the fear of God, if you're taking notes, now is the time. The fear of God is a blend of different concepts. It's awe, wonder, respect, reverence. And from this parable, we can also add humility. And all those concepts together form the fear of God. And at this point of my sermon, you might say, well, this is all really good, but what do we do with love? Last week, I talked to a friend about my sermon, and I said, yeah, I'm going to talk about the fear of God. My friend said, oh, that's interesting. Because as a kid, I was in a fear of God church, and now I've moved to a love of God church. What is that? What does that mean? I think what it means is that we put a little bit too much emphasis on kind of this romanticized view of love. And that love and fear of God go actually together. It's like law and grace go together. We cannot understand grace if we don't understand what the law is, right? What's the point of what it is all about to be forgiven if we don't know what we are forgiven for, right? So it's exactly the same for the fear of God. It's this idea that, of course, God loves us so much, and we know, right? He sent his son to die on the cross for us. So there's this sense of love, but cannot go without this sense of awe and wonder about God. It goes against the view that Jesus is my boyfriend, right? That's not the point. So I hope that, you know, going away today, you will remember those images, and you also remember that the fear of God is a lot more than just a word. It's actually a bad translation, actually. So I have the privilege of being an in-house guest preacher, which means that I can say a little bit more stuff than the usual regular preacher, because I'm not coming back next week, and right? So I'm just going to end by giving you something that's on my heart. I think we've made sermons into TED Talks. And I hear over and over, oh, I went to this church in Sydney, and oh my gosh, the preaching was so good. Oh, the preacher was so charismatic. Oh, it was so good. And, you know, we've made sermons kind of this nice melody in our ears that we like to listen, and it's nice to listen to nice sermons, right? But that's not the point. The point is about what are we going to do tonight when we go back home that are actually going to change our Christian lives? What are we going to do? It's all about putting into practice what we learn from our faith, right? Jesus is consistent about it. All of us need to put in practice what we learn. So today, may you go out of this door, out of this room, remembering that God is asking us, his people, to fear him, but to fear him not like a slave will fear his master, but to fear him the same way a son would fear the dad, right? It's a fear, it's a mix of awe, wonder, respect, reverence, and humility. That is what it's about. And it should be joyful, right? I don't want you guys to go out and be like, oh my gosh, I'm so sad. No, it's not sad. The fear of God is great. It's awesome. And it goes hand in hand with love. But it's just a great theological concept that we all need to be reminded from time to time to kind of redirect our faith, right? And to say, okay, that's a proper understanding of our relationship with our Lord. Otherwise, it would not be said in the Psalm 111 that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. So friends, may you go out today knowing that you are God-fearing people. You're not God-challenging people or God-ignoring people, as we see a lot around us. No, we are God-fearing people, and we are proud of it, and we know that God loves us so much. But he's also asking for us to stand at a little distance, you know, and with awe and reverence to cry out to him. Amen.